We want to thank you guys for taking time to listen to our complex philanthropy conversation. Today's conversation is going to help give you a better understanding of the possibilities of being able to give assets away that are not just stock or cash. My name is Mark Hagan. I work for UBS Financial Services out of Plano. I've been in this business for 28 years, and I've been with UBS since 1999. I run the charitable planning part of our practice at UBS. I have a chartered advisor in philanthropy designation. I also consult on foundations and endowments across the country, and I am the founder of a charity called Emily's Place, which is a faith-based ministry that serves survivors of domestic violence here in the Collin County area. Emily's Place is not associated in any way with UBS Financial Services, nor is it endorsed by them as a company. Today, I'm really excited that we're joined by two guys that I've known for a long time, Michael King and Joel Smyer. Both of these guys are with National Christian Foundation. Joel Smyer, he guides National Christian Foundation North Texas. He is its founding president and general counsel. Prior to helping launch this foundation, he was a partner in a Fort Worth law firm where he practiced law in various areas of civil litigation. He's a graduate of Baylor University, went to Baylor University School of Law, and he's married to his lovely wife, Laura, and together those guys parent to six kids. Michael King is also joining us today. He's the charitable gifts and estate tax attorney for NCF. He's been with those guys since 2006, and prior to joining NCF, he spent 10 years with an international tax and accounting firm, which provided wealth management and multifamily office services. Michael received his undergraduate degree in finance from Penn State University, his law degree from UCLA School of Law. Michael and his wife, Tammy, those guys have been high school sweethearts, and they have been abundantly blessed with five children. It's fantastic to have both you guys here today. I appreciate you guys being a part of the call.
And as a quick reminder, UBS Financial Services does not provide tax or legal advice.
Since 1982, it's interesting to me that National Christian Foundation has come alongside generous families and individuals as well as their advisors. And because of that, they've been able to help send more than $15 billion in giver-recommended grants to over 71,000 churches, Christian ministries, and other charities. With regards to non-cash or complex assets specifically, NCF has been a part of structuring $4.5 billion from 2,700 plus non-cash or certain type of complex asset gifts. These guys, in my opinion, have written the book on how to give away assets independent of what we all know as cash and stock. And so I'm thankful to have these guys here today on the call. Michael, Joel, the data shows that 75 to 80% of net worth of families across this country is tied up in illiquid assets. Their real estate holdings, their business holdings, their partnership interests, oil and gas, royalties, hedge fund, private equity, you name the asset. Yet, while the majority is tied up in that, close to 90% of all giving comes from people actually just writing a check. So, Joel, as long as you've been in this space, why don't you tell me why you think there might be such a big differential there in that type of giving data?
Yeah, it's great. Thank you, Mark. Glad to be with you. It's awareness. It's awareness. I'll tell you, number one, as one of Michael's and my mentors have told us, the tax laws for what we do have been there forever. And they really have. They go back to the 60s. That is around being able to give an asset that is, for instance, a family business partnership interest, to be able to give that in a charitable way, but it not actually be used by the end user charity. And so the awareness comes from the reality of kind of where we started this conversation. What is it that I hold? I hold cash, some publicly traded securities, and traditionally for the families we serve, lots of private holdings as well. And we start from the kind of the presumption that most of, overwhelmingly, all of the families that we have served have great plans for generating and creating wealth. But so few have really thought through what it means to be charitable beyond, here's my church, here's my synagogue, here is the different nonprofits that I love, and on an annual basis, I'm going to write a few checks.
Well, and I think too, just from my experience being on the wealth management side of business and advisors, you know, it is counterintuitive in our business to talk about giving money away. That's number one. Number two, the complexities that come with needing to understand what you can give and really being able to speak to it in a way that is beneficial to your client. Most folks aren't willing to put the time into it, or they just, it's easier to recommend give cash or stock. Everybody can get comfortable with that. So the ability for even just generally speaking advisors to be comfortable bringing it up and having enough information or knowledge to be able to help direct and guide, I think there is a little level of an insecurity there in the context of not being, knowing enough of the information to accurately convey it. And so it just doesn't get conveyed.
Totally. Because, like, for instance, a lot of these families we serve, going back to this family wealth box idea, there's cash, and then there's the publicly traded securities that the wealth advisor is intimately aware of. And then there's that family business. Then quite frankly, up until the moment of engagement with the wealth advisory firm, has been the generator of all the income. But what is the access that the wealth advisor has to really talking about what is charitable giving inside of the family business?
Yep.
And that's a both unknown and kind of a hard subject. However, in light of what we're seeing statistically with corona studies, with all kinds of things that are out there about the desire of families to be more philanthropic and the opportunity for wealth advisors to be a bridge, they're really looking to the wealth advisor, then a lot of these giving strategies, you're starting to talk about the opportunity to give assets is really a blue ocean for wealth advisors, especially.
Got it. Michael, you got any thought on some of that?
Yeah, this whole area is an area of opportunity that's ripe because we're still in a process where there's so many families, so many advisors that just aren't even aware. It's just simply not on their radar screen. We have a little saying here at NCF that friends don't let friends give cash. And we say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek because actually for a lot of families, we would encourage them to give a combination of cash and other types of non-cash assets. But oftentimes, it's great advice to say, hey, before you write a check, step back, pause, and give some thought whether there are other types of assets that would actually be more tax advantageous to give than simply writing a check.
Mm-hmm. So in the different asset classes, just give me a few examples based on your experience for some, just for our listeners.
Yeah, well, I would say that there are really three or four primary categories. A lot of times I'll start off with marketable securities, although that's not a complex transaction. Giving marketable securities can be a very tax leveraged transaction. Creates an opportunity to capture a double tax benefit by getting a charitable deduction and avoiding capital gain tax on the built-in gain of those marketable securities. And then really the three primary types of non-cash assets, complex assets that offer opportunities are closely held businesses, real estate, and intellectual property. And one of the things that's great about these other types of assets is oftentimes they provide double or even triple tax benefits for a single gift in comparison to simply writing a check and giving cash.
Like, give me a quick example of that, an additional tax benefit outside of the one you would get giving cash.
Okay, so very similar to when families give marketable securities, something to sell stock, and they say, well, hey, before I sell this, I'm going to give it charitably, and that way capture my deduction and avoid tax on the gain. So when families have complex assets that they're planning to sell, a very similar opportunity exists there. Perhaps they're looking to sell their business, or they're looking to sell a piece of investment real estate that they have. They can capture a double tax benefit, receive a charitable deduction, and either avoid or at least dramatically reduce the capital gain tax that they otherwise would have paid. And then a kind of a whole different scenario, Mark, another strategy that families will use is even if there isn't a sale contemplated in the near future, or maybe even midterm or long term, families will sometimes give these assets and the charity will just simply hold them for periods of time. could be years, could be decades. Mm-hmm. And in those situations, oftentimes there's an opportunity to capture triple tax benefits. And the way that's done is they get the first two that we just mentioned, the charitable deduction, avoidance, and reduction of capital gain tax when the asset ultimately is sold. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, while the charity holds that interest and that asset produces income, the charity will receive a pro rata portion of that income. And in that case, again, the charity can either avoid or in some cases dramatically reduce the tax liability for the income that they're receiving from that. So great opportunity to be a great steward and leverage your giving by minimizing taxes.
That sounds good. Can you give us, how about just give us one example of something you've done recently that would be some type of gift that would be structured, just high level?
Yeah, let me give you a little bit of an example of that latter strategy that I just mentioned, where families are giving interests in, say, a business, and they're simply holding that interest and there's no imminent sale. What a lot of these families will do is they'll gift interests in their business, typically very small interests, on an annual basis. And their goal or objective is to maximize their charitable deductions on an annual basis. So if a family's giving charitably, and if it's all in the form of cash, they can deduct up to 60% of their income each year. If they're giving a non-cash asset, whether marketable securities, a business, real estate, they can deduct a maximum of 30% of their income. Mm-hmm. And then they can also do a combination of both of those. So if they gave 30% of their income in the form of a non-cash asset, they could do up to an additional 20% of their income in the form of cash for a total of 50. So that's kind of the general landscape of those deduction rules. And so what a lot of these families will do, particularly if they've got a faith perspective, oftentimes they're already giving 10%, they may be tithers. And so a lot of families will target a business interest gift equal to 30% of their income for the current year. And because of the high correlation between the value of a business and the income it produces, most businesses and business owners, it requires a gift of between 2-4% of the business to hit that 30% of income threshold. And most of these businesses are growing at or above the rate that those gifts are being made. Mm-hmm. So for example, a family might be making a 3% business interest gift each year, but their business is growing at 5 or 8 or 10% every year. Mm-hmm. And then what a lot of families, so when they do that, they get a charitable deduction for the value of that business interest gift. And then what many of these families will do is they'll take a portion of that tax savings and they'll make an additional charitable gift of cash, which oftentimes can take them to the full maximum deduction threshold of 50%
of
their income. So that's a very popular strategy, one that really enables families to exercise great stewardship of their resources.
And really in the context of that, you know, you're thinking, man, I'm giving away my business interest. I'm giving away, it's a big number. But as a percentage of the business, potentially it could be small to still achieve such a big number, where my experience in this business, and you guys have seen it with the funders and the clients that you've helped with these gifts, most of the families have been blessed that they don't need 100% of that business value to do everything they want to do. So they are okay with having 97% of it personally and the other 3 to be able to give in addition of what maybe they've been given outside. So that's a really powerful combination.
I think what you said needs a little bit of adjustment, and that is around the giving it away. So I find that there's a light bulb moment that happens with families when they understand, for instance, when Michael's talking about charity and what charity gets and what charity doesn't get. The light bulb moment is when families understand that these strategies are built to be the intermediate ground between what they're holding today and those end user charities, that church, that place they want to bless someday, right? So when we're talking about charity in the sense of the tax savings, that is going to the donor-advised fund, the supporting organization, or the private foundation. And that's so, so important, because what really turns on the fuel, I find that there's sometimes almost like an idea of this is too much for right now because I already know who my charities are, that the light bulb moment is when we're saying we're not talking about giving these business interests away to these charities right now. We're actually talking about how we're going to front load future giving.
Yep, that's good.
We're going to talk about the future side of it. So all of these, of course, we can use it for the now. We can give out of our giving fund or our private foundation from an asset we gave this year. But importantly, I think families have got to understand, as we're talking about these subjects, it's about this middle space, these charitable tools that are the charity for the moment. They get the deduction. But they're also the places out of which family today and for generations to come can drive giving to their favorite charity.
Got it. That's good. That's good. So, Michael, you've shared some of the powerful benefits of some of the complex assets as gifts. They're called complex assets for a reason, because there are some different pitfalls and things, hurdles that need to be paid attention to in the context of being able to give these type of gifts. And Joel, I'd like you to maybe just talk kind of high level of a couple of those, just to give our audience an opportunity to hear some of the things that you guys help keep people out of the ditch on as it relates to advising on being able to give some of these assets away.
I would say first that the transactional side of it, like Michael and I have been talking about, is really fairly simple. It's just executing along the lines of what tax law currently provides, and it can be done in quick order, fast order. We're obviously used to working alongside of the business operations as they're happening, and really everything we've talked about is fairly simple to execute. I would say the complexity is more around the family side, and it comes up in two particular ways. Number one, it's complex to think that I'm giving this percentage away, because we want to make clear that is a gift. It's not another IRA or something that's going to benefit later. It's not an annuity. It's not a 529 plan that if my kids don't use it, it comes back to me. It's a gift to charity, and so it's going to charity. And so where it gets complex is if somebody has other than charitable objectives with these portions, these interests. And kind of like Michael was talking about earlier, we're never talking about giving the whole goose away. We're talking about percentages that are both as to how much the family's decided overall, looking at how much we're going to give away. It's in this quadrant, and then kind of building it from there. So it's the, do I really want to give it? And then it's the conversation, the family conversation, especially if this isn't it's one thing if this is an asset in the portfolio that mom and dad know of, but the kids don't have any involvement with, that's one thing. But if the non-cash asset is the family business, where there's already significant discussions around legacy and who out of Gen 2 may come in to Gen 1 and their spot to lead, then this gets more complex. And it's very, very doable, but it's also very relational. And so those are the complex pieces.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I think we've done a good job of kind of covering the initial part as it relates to complex asset giving versus just traditional stock or cash. For those of you who are listening here today, and maybe this has jarred some additional questions for you, or maybe you have a specific asset or situation or business you would like to just talk through about the possibilities of that for the causes that you care about, please feel free to email me at mark.hagan@ubs.com. It's Mark with a K, and last name is H-A-G-A-N. Or feel free to dial me directly, 469-440-0604. It'll be easy to loop us all in for a conversation at some point if that's of some interest. And we appreciate you taking some time to listen to our conversation today. Have a great rest of the week.